This afternoon we're going to think about the Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, Where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens, he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. We know that God will add his own blessing to the reading of his word. When Henry VIII won his famous battle against the French at Agincourt in the year 1415, he got down on his knees afterwards and he quoted the words of this particular psalm, the verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Whatever his claims, it is doubtful that Henry V was really from his heart glorifying God in the midst of his military victory. And it is true that this psalm was not written as a victory psalm, as a psalm of triumph. It was not written for the purpose of praising God after war and bloodshed. This was not why the psalm was written. Why was it written? This is a psalm of worship. It was written to help us as we worship God and as we come into the presence of God, to help us understand who the God is whom we worship. You see, God is not a mythical entity. God is a person. God is not one of a number of deities. There is but one God, and that is the God who is revealed in the scriptures. He was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the Old Testament. He was the God of Israel. He was the God who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. He reveals himself to us through his son, Jesus. And we learn about this God through the Bible, the Old and New Testaments. There is but one God. And as we pray, we worship this one God. As we come to church, we worship this one God. But who is God? And perhaps you're asking that question today. Who is God? The psalmist begins by saying who God is not, because the psalmist is responding to a question. The heathen are saying, Where is now their God? The heathen are saying, Where is the God of Israel? And so the psalmist begins by saying that the God of Israel is not the God of the heathen. The true God is a different kind of God. He talks here about idols, and this is a very unique passage in the Psalms because it contains an exposition of idolatry and the vanity, the emptiness of idolatry. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They are made of costly materials, and they look elaborate, but yet they have mouths that do not speak, they have ears that do not hear, they have noses that do not smell, they have eyes that do not see, they have hands that do not handle, they have feet which cannot walk. The idols of the heathen may look beautiful, but their gods are of no value whatsoever. It was Saint Augustine who, when writing about this psalm, said that the beast has more value than a false god. The dog or the cat or the cow or the pig even can walk and see and feel, even though that creature may not be able to reason things out as man does, that simple creature has more value than a heathen god, because a heathen god does not exist. And there are many people across the world and they worship false gods. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Any idea or concept of God, which is a denial of Jesus Christ as God's Son, is false. It is an empty religion. Are you trusting in an empty religion today? An empty religion, that is a religion without Christ, a religion without faith in Christ, will do nothing for you. It will not satisfy you now. It will not prepare you for eternity. It's empty and it's vain. The verse 8 says, they that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. A God which does not exist is a dead God. And the person who worships a dead God is a dead person, dead in spirit, dead in soul. You see, the Apostle Paul, when writing to the Ephesian Christians, he said this, and you have been quickened. You have been made alive who were dead in your sin. And if you're not a Christian, you're dead. You may have physical life, but yet spiritually you're dead. You're dead in your soul, and you have no hope whatsoever, and your life has no real purpose. You're without direction, a ship without a rudder, on a wild and stormy sea. That's the position that you find yourself in today, because you're not following the true, the living God who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Don't worship a false God today. Don't have the wrong idea of God. You need to realize who God is. Because this psalm says, our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. The God of scriptures is a sovereign God. He's in control of all things. He has made and fashioned the heavens and the earth out of nothing. He controls the events that take place in the world. Time itself is in the very palm of his hand, and he makes no mistakes. God is in control. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And therefore, on account of this, the psalmist, the person who wrote this psalm, makes an appeal. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Trust in the Lord. He can be your help. He can be your shield. He can be your personal friend. Are you trusting him today? Do you know him? And there is a promise for those who do know the Lord. Verse 12 says, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. God promises to bless his people. There is no greater blessing than to know that we are in the family of God. Are you in God's family today? Do you know the Lord? You following him? You a member of his household? God makes poor sinners his adopted sons and daughters. He brings us into his family. Do you have that assurance? There's no greater blessing than to know the Lord. This blessing is promised for us individually. It is also promised to our families. Verse 14 says, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. How important it is to know God's blessing individually as families. In order that we might know God's blessing, we have to trust in the Lord. And we can only trust in the Lord by acknowledging our sin, by trusting Christ as our one and only Savior. Don't follow the wrong kind of faith. Don't follow a dead God. Follow the true God who's revealed to us in the scriptures. The God who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Are you trusting him today? I thank you so much for listening.